Okay, we're recording. Boker Tov, continuing on with some of the halachot of tzedakah. So we started last time, Siman Rishmen Plit. Who is obligated to give, how much you have to give. So we spoke about the three levels, the three basic levels of tzedakah. A, if a person is extremely wealthy, so you should give all of the needs of the anim. If he is not as wealthy, but pretty well-to-do, he should give up to one-fifth, up to 20% of his nechassim for tzedakah. And midah benonit, most people, average people, give one-tenth, about which the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person gives less than one-tenth, less than 10% of his earnings, that is ayin ra'ah. He says that's considered stingy. So, says the Ramah as follows. Haga, ba'al yibazbez adam yoter mechomesh shelo yitzterech labriyot. Which means that a person should not, if a person is of average wealth and a person cannot really afford it, he should not spend more than 20% on tzedakah, so that chalila he doesn't come to a situation where he requires people's tzedakah assistance as well. That's not a good idea. A person should always make sure not to, you know, even the Gemara tells us, "Aseh shabatecha chol ve'al titzterech lebriyot." There are certain limitations on, you know, even though onik Shabbat is a tremendous mitzvah, a person should kind of tone down his Shabbat, the Gemara says, as opposed to, you know, coming on to other people's tzedakah. Bedavka says the Rama, kol yimehayav, aval bishat moto, yachol adam niten tzedakah kol ma sheirtze. Says that only applies throughout one's life. But when a person's dying, a person can give as much tzedakah as he wants, even above and beyond 20%. Now, ve'en la'asot mima'asir shelo dvar mitzvah, kegon nerot lebet ha'knesset, o she'ad dvar mitzvah, rak yitenenu la'anim. This is a very big machloket, but the Ramah over here brings down that a person should not use his ma'asir money for any kind of mitzvah. A person should take his ma'asir money and give it specifically to anim. Don't derive any benefit, any personal benefit from that. We're going to see soon what about aliyot and stuff like that. So soon we're going to see from the Taz what he has to say over here. So, we're going to get there also. So in general, Chinese auction, unless you, if you don't win, so you're fine. The question is, what happens if you paid for a Chinese auction and you do win? What's the halacha over there? We're going to get to that. Bezat Hashem. Tov. Says the Ba'ir Tev, Shamru, v'nirah dehu adin ma'asir lebenoni shenoten shana rishona ma'asir mehakeren ve'achar kach ma'asir meharevach. Which means, remember when the Shulchan Aruch said that the first year when a person takes off 20%, it should be from net worth, and every subsequent year, should be from the earnings, right? Right, so now, the same thing applies. It's not only to Mr. 20%, the same applies to the guy who's taking off 10% as well. The first year, everybody's got a first time that they start separating Ma'asir Kesafim, right? So in the beginning, the first year, a person should take it off from his net worth because yet he hasn't had earnings yet. Or even if he does have earnings, he hasn't taken off yet. He's got to take off from, you know, 10% from what he's worth. And then every subsequent year, he can do 10% from his earnings. Says the Beit Mitzvah, Marshal Vidrisha Katvu, Vishim Chubat Maharam, the whole mitzvah shtavoli yadok, he gon yod bal berito lachnis chatan vekala lachupa vechayagavna, the chin liknot farim, limod bahem, ulash ilam lachirim, limod bahem, im lo ye yeholet biado, viloha ya ose ota mitzvah, yeholiknot mimasel. It's a very, very big thing. He says, the Marshal and the Drisha write that any mitzvah that comes to a person's hand, which means, let's say, being sandak, in those times apparently, and there's still some people who do that sandakut is sometimes sold to the highest bidder. Yeah. So let's say there's such a mitzvah, or buying sfarim, or any other mitzvah, if a person would not be able to perform that mitzvah without using ma'aser money, say the Maharshal and the Drisha, you are allowed to use ma'aser money for it. Even though you're gaining personal benefit. But since you wouldn't be able to do the mitzvah without using ma'aser money, if it was regular money, I wouldn't buy it, I don't have enough. But if I supplement it or I use the whole ma'aser money towards this mitzvah, it would be mutar. So therefore, in that situation, he says you can use the money. Then it would be mutar. Now he says, same thing with sfarim. But you can't hoard the sfarim. You have to buy the sfarim and let others use them as well. So he says, וכן נפזר מעשרותיו לבניו הגדולים שאינו חייב לטפל בהם, מותר, ואפילו לאביו מותר לתת אם הוא עני משום כבוד אביו. What about spending a person's ma'asir money on a person's own children? Let's say a person has a child who needs ma'asir, and it's not a child that a person is obligated to support. Let's say it's an older child. The halakha is that you're allowed to spend it on them, and he brings it out, yeah, because a person is allowed to spend his own ma'asir money on his father, even though you're not obligated to. The Maskanat HaGemara, the Gemara says Masechet Kiddushin, that even though we say that a person's obligated to Kibud HaVayim, the Gemara has a question. Whose money are you obligated to spend for Kibud HaVayim? Your money or the father's money? Maskanat HaGemara is that the father's money. And yet, if you have your own ma'asir money, am I allowed to funnel my ma'asir money to my father? Yes, Mishum Kibud HaVayim. So, and over there also, are you obligated to support your father using your own money? No. And yet, the Gemara says that you're allowed to support your father using ma'aser money. So it's a big thing. So that being said, a father is also allowed to use his ma'aser money for a child that he's not obligated to support. What happens if he's obligated to support? Then you can't use your ma'aser money for that. Right? If it's a little child that you're obligated to support, so this is an obligation, and there's a chov. Huh? Let's say below six. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's say like a couple of young married couple, like daughter.
Vaday mutar. Vaday mutar. Now listen to this. If it's it doesn't have to be a mitzvah. That's exactly the point. The less of a mitzvah it is, the more reason you should be allowed to use the ma'aser money. Understand? The more of a mitzvah it is, so the question would be, one second, if it's a mitzvah and I'm getting a mitzvah out of it, so maybe I shouldn't be able to use ma'aser money. Kamash malan, that if it's a mitzvah that I wouldn't be able to do without doing ma'aser money, or even over here, if it's, yeah, the person I'm supporting needs the money, happens to be my son, but nevertheless, since I'm not obligated, if I'm obligated, am I allowed to pay off a loan using ma'aser money? Of course not. Why? Because that's something that's incumbent upon me. I'm responsible to pay that.
Personal.
So that's something that I'm responsible for anyway. So bevaday, I can't use ma'aser money. For the same reason, if I have a child under six, let's say that I'm obligated to support. So over there, since I'm obligated to support him, you can't use tzedakah money for him. That's an obligation that the Chachamim imposed on a person.
So the rabbi question, the person you borrow the money from becomes ani, and your obligation to pay him, let's say, $10,000 a year for 10 years.
Yeah.
It says, give me the $80,000 in 1 year, and you're worried about, I'll say your loan is canceled. You know, you'll give me a discount, pay it all off.
Okay. So what you're being mochel $20,000?
Let's say the whole thing. Let's say the whole $100,000 paid off all at once.
Okay.
$100,000.
Okay.
By paying your own personal loan, you're helping an ani.
You can help him, but that's money that's coming to him. Whether it's in, you know,
he's
one day or 10 years.
He's gonna go under if you pay him at the rate that you're paying.
Doesn't matter. But this is money that you owe him. It's not a tzedakah. The other way around might be a tzedakah. There's machlok da poskim. Let's say an ani owes you money and you forgive the loan. Machloket. Machloket, if forgiving a loan is considered tzedakah. We're going to get to that position. But anyway, and now he continues and he says, here we go. The Beditiv brings down that there are certain places that there was a takana for, they had some sort of enactment in the city not to give your own tzedakah funds to personal anim. It has to go to the gabai, and the gabai will distribute it, because otherwise, I guess, there are certain places that, you know, there's monkey business going on, and they wanted to avoid that. So they said, all tzedakah funds Everybody has to channel their tzedakah funds to the communal gabay tzedakah, and then he's going to apportion it based on however he sees fit. So over there, if there's no such takana in the city, a person would be able to give it to his children, because at the end of the day, if they're needy, this is also tzedakah. Now, ubataz katav, says the Taz, de'asur lifroa behem misim. Now, you're not allowed, obviously, let's say you have to pay taxes, even city taxes, things that everybody benefits from. Are you allowed to use tzedakah funds to pay municipal taxes? No. Why? Because like we said, that is a chov. Anything that's an obligation, anything that is a, you know, anything that's incumbent on a person to pay, the halacha is you have to pay that from chulin. You have to use regular money and not tzedakah funds. Now, what about buying something in the shul? Says the Taz, this is big stuff. Ul'anyan liknot mitzvot bebet ha'kneset bim'ot ma'asir. Says the Taz, what about buying stuff in shul with ma'asir money? Nir'ali. De'im bish'at kniyat ha'mitzvot haya da'ato al ze, shari. De'ha ha'ma'ot litzdaka ze. Ve'af shu nehena ha'bechol ma'asir, yesh tovat hana'a la'ba'alim. Ma she'en ken, im bish'at kniyat ha'mitzvot, לא היה דעתו, ואחר כך רוצה לפרוע מהמעשר, הבא לכפורע חובו מן המעשר. So he says, which means very, very interesting halacha. He says, if when you bought the kavod in the Beit HaKnesset, the aliyah, the whatever it is that you bought, if at the time that you bought it, your kavana was to use ma'asir money to buy the aliyah, so he says, over there it's mutar, because at the end of the day, the money is going to the Beit HaKnesset, which is a tzedakah. Ah, what's the question? You're still personally benefiting from it, right? You're getting an aliyah, you're getting a kavod, something of that nature. So why is that mutar? Says the Taz, I don't have a problem with that. Why? Because every tzedakah has an element of tovatana, which means you have kavod from every tzedakah you give. Right, the person who you're giving to, first of all, you can decide who to give it to. That's your personal decision. Number two, you're getting kavod, unless you're doing matan basetir. But is there any problem if a person gives tzedakah publicly? Do we say that his tzedakah is invalidated because of the kavod that he gets? No, it's not invalidated. That's part and parcel of every tzedakah, unless you're doing matan basetir, obviously. But at the end of the day, says the Taz, therefore I derive from here that there's no problem of gaining personal benefit from that tzedakah. However, what happens if you didn't have such a kavanah when you were buying the aliyah or whatever it was? Just bought it regular. And then later you say, oh, you know what? Let me use tzedakah funds to pay for it. That's a sur. Why? Because when you buy the tzedakah, when you buy the kavod stam in the Beit HaKnesset, then what does it become? It becomes a debt. You cannot pay off your personal debts with tzedakah funds. So it depends what your kavanah was, bishat, the purchase of the mitzvah.
What
so says the Taz.
What if a person makes a donation, let's say $10,000 in the beginning of the year, and then it helps the Kabbai deduct my kavod from this portion? Meaning I'll pay it all up front, and as I make kavod, I buy all the
other. That's fine.
That's
fine. That's even better than this case.
Yeah.
That's even better, because at the beginning, you gave the money without any, you gave the money stam for tzedakah, and then you're saying, okay, deduct it for this mitzvah, that kavod, but this is even better than having kavanah for using the money for the kibbutzim, because you're just giving the money stam for the tzedakah. And then you're saying, okay, it's like credit. Yeah. That's mutar. Yeah. Now, when a person just bought the aliyah stam, just regularly bought the aliyah, and then later he decides to pay for the aliyah using ma'aser money. That's a suit. Absolutely not. That's not, I don't think that's known at all. I think most people would pay out of pocket. It has nothing to do with ma'aser money. I don't think anybody takes that as a granted. That's why you need specific kavanah.
So yeah. You make a bid of that kavanah, I'm using my ma'aser money to pay for this aliyah.
Yep. And otherwise you can't.
And if you don't have any money?
You're done. Regular money. You can't use ma'aser money.
Also, what makes a person who looks at the line?
So we're going to see later that's, you know, soon we're going to get to it in Siman HaShem Aleph, what makes a person ani. In the times of Chazal and today, the Gemara says that a person doesn't have Matayim Zuz, he's considered an ani. Now, Matayim Zuz in lay terms is about $64. So that's obviously we don't have anim like in the times of Chazal. Most poskim saying that nowadays, in order to be considered an ani, is a person who has outstanding chovot, a person who has debt that he cannot pay. He doesn't have like a steady source of income to pay off those debts. In general, that would be considered an ani today. Says the Taz Vayter, the Beit Tiv brings the Taz, and he says, "V'chin v'gam keshekone sefer be'ad ma'aser tzarich lichtov alav shezeu min ma'aser leman yidu banav davar ze v'lo yachziku lahem." Similarly, if a person, can you buy sfarim with ma'aser money? So he says yes. But when you buy sfarim with ma'aser money, you have to write in the sefer, or it's got to be clearly, you know, written somewhere else that these sfarim are bought for ma'aser money. You cannot hoard it. You can't hold on to it by yourself. So much so that even when the person dies, the children can't hold on to it. If it was bought for ma'aser money, it is public use. It has to be left for, I mean, you can use it just like everybody else, but if somebody else wants to come use it, you can't say, no, you can't use it, because that means, what did you do? You bought sfarim for yourself. You can't do that. It's got to be made available for public use.
Do the children have the first order of refusal to buy when he dies?
Buy and then do what?
Buy the sfarim. Let's say the sfarim worth $10,000. Do the children have
a... Buy it from whom? Buy it from the public?
Buy when you say it. Oh, it belongs to the public?
It belongs to the public. It doesn't belong to him. In order to buy the sfarim with public, with ma'aser money, he has to say, this is not mine. I'm going to hold on to it, but everybody, you can make a library out of it, but he can't hoard it for himself. Same thing he did when he was alive.
Keep his house.
And if, so let people come in. So give the sfarim to a shul or to a bet midrash or whatever. Let people use it. It doesn't belong to them. That's the point. He has to let people in. Or take it to the shul. You can't be like, oh yeah, I bought this for ma'aser money, and anybody can use it. And he puts it in lock and key in his basement in some vault in Fort Knox. Yeah, anybody can come. Yeah. It's like, huh? Well, not quite. The poskim say that... Some Farshim ask when we say halach ma'anya, we say kol bichvin yetevi yepun, whoever wants, everybody, yalla, it's mufti time, yeah? Everybody, come on. And the doors are locked and the shades are drawn and everything. What is it? Kol bichvin yetevi yepun? What is that? So who are you kidding? Yeah, Yonatan, my tomer. Your father's not obligated to pay for your yeshiva. He can. If he wants to use his ma'aser above the age of 6, that's Shuvani Chavedat. That if he wants, he can pay. Whoops. Huh? Above the age of 6. But let's say you want to pay for your own yeshiva. So over there, you can pay for your own tuition. Add a ma'aser on yeshiva. Yeah. So, Vaita. Now. That's part of it. When you give money to Anim, what do you think he's doing with it? Anim also, he has to buy food. He has to, you know, chutz me'akavod, he even has to renovate his bathroom. You know what I'm saying? Anim. Anim have every yeshiva, it's funny. I don't remember who said it, but a very big gadol said, you know, many times you see yeshivas, Rashi Yeshivot, and people with big institutions, they take money from not such kosher people. So sometimes people ask, how can you allow yourself to take money from not such kosher people? Or, you know, because by default, if it's a not such a kosher person, that means the money comes from not such kosher sources. How you accepting money for yeshiva kadosha? So I don't remember who said it. I think I do, but I don't want to attribute it to him if he didn't say it. But one of the Gdolei Olam said, but don't worry, every yeshiva has a bathroom. Yane, that money goes to the bathroom. That's that. Anyway, bekitzur, aval mekol makom, there is a machlok at the poskim, if you're allowed to take, we're not going to call it blood money, but non-kosher money towards kosher, you know, causes.
What if it's blood money? kills people, he prostitutes women, he sells drugs.
Well, he doesn't want to come to shul. He wants to buy a shul. You can say no. There are different schools of thought what to do in that case where you have, you know, a murderer and all those other things, but certainly you want to turn the guy away, you're certainly well within your rights, and many posts can say you have to. But on the other hand, there's another school of thought that says, but one second, this guy's at Rasha Merusha, you want to give him a little bit, even, you know, a tiny amount of, or, you know, some zechut, a little bit of a zechut for him, because otherwise he's not going to be able to get zechut from anywhere else, so at least take this money from him and do something of Kiddushah. But then you get into, so there is such a shita. Hopefully we'll get to it, Bezat Hashem. But then there's another idea that, one second, you're going to put his name plastered all over the building and give him kavod and, you know, Mr. Does all those things. Ze lo pashut. Aval, mikol makom, that is... Who's it going? Okay.
I would like to make a donation to your shul. I think your institution is the right institution. There's $1 million. So the guy is a goy covered in tattoos. There's no teshuva for him.
Why not? A goy is a goy. What's the big taking from a goy? The Gemara learns out from the word Adam ki akriv mikem that even goyim were allowed to bring korbanot to Beit HaMikdash. And they were accepted.
If you're making an argument that you're trying to do justice to who, why are you trying to do a
goy? Why not? If he's coming, again, if he's doing all sorts of bad things, so that's a different story. But if he's a goy, now again, unfortunately, most goyim today don't keep Sheva Mitzvot B'Ninoah. That's just not the way it goes. As much as we would love them to, but they don't. So the shaila is, over here, but let's say he's a regular goy, you know, pretty decent guy. He happens to be a goy. So,
I'm not a bad guy that somehow wants the money to the rabbi.
So it would be.
That's it.
Take it to the bathroom. But Bezat Hashem, there's more halachot here, but this is basically Saif Aleph, and we'll continue next time. Bezat Hashem, let's get ready for Shacharit. Kol Tov. Tzlach Rabbah.